Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 4, Proverbs in chapter number 4. Basically, if you have a scripture with you this morning and you open it to the middle, you're most likely to find the book of Proverbs there. Proverbs chapter number 4 that I'm excited about today. We begin a brand new series entitled The Heart of a Child. The Heart of a Child. And my heart has been challenged in preparation for this series, wanting to, number one, bring lessons to you that are going to be helpful to your life, your marriage, and your home, and also that are going to strengthen your home and your parenting and training of your children. I think about families in our class that right now are engaged in this process. I think about families in our class that this would be preparatory maybe someday as the Lord adds to your family. And I'm thankful for those in our class that are expecting right now, or the little babies that might be here that we've just entered into the world in the last few days and things of that nature. It's exciting to be a part of that. And I'm thankful for the God's blessing upon it. And I'm looking forward to this. And anytime we enter into a series like this, I always like to preface it by saying, Brother Gabe is not a perfect parent. I'm not a expert in this subject. I am a dad who wants to be the best dad he possibly can be, and I'm a student of the subject. And as those of you that know me, as we go through a series like this, I'll share with you, hey, here's some things I've learned. Here's some things I've done that I wouldn't do again. And I would want you to know that. Here's some things I've learned that maybe have worked well. Here's some things I'm learning right now. And that's what I'm excited about sharing. And so I appreciate you being here. And I do want to encourage you today to tune in and really to listen to the Lord and His Word as we go through the subject. And then just in your heart say, whether we're raising kids right now or maybe we're preparing for that for someday in the future, Lord, would You help us to be attentive as we learn, and then help us to be here every Sunday. And you all know what it is about Sundays. Boy, Satan fights us maybe getting to church or being where we need to be. And I just want to encourage you inwardly to say, every Sunday as we go through this series, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to come with an anticipation to hear from God and to sharpen my skills in the area of being a parent who is ministering to the heart of my child. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And throughout this series, over the next several weeks, we're going to really focus on the heart of a child. In 1947, Dr. Carl Zimmerman wrote a very important book entitled Family and Civilization. And this book was a result that he had research that he had done that spanned over 3,000 years of family life that he was looking at and analyzing. And this Harvard professor made a powerful case for the importance of traditional family structure. The conclusion of his book was basically this: as go the children, so goes the culture, and as goes the family, so goes society. And in his research, he concluded that there are 7 indicators that a culture is in decline. According to history, cultures that have gone into decline are characterized by these. Number one, and I put these in your notes, an increase in the rate of divorce. 2, lack of commitment to the permanence of marriage. Redefining the meaning of family as a solution to social problems. Lack of respect for parental authority. Promotion of cohabitation over marriage. Lack of inhibition concerning adultery. Acceptance of all forms of sexuality. Now, Dr. Zimmerman, as he concluded this research, wrote, as we watch the destruction of the family, so we simultaneously watch the collapse of our society. Now, 2 interesting things about his research. Number one, Dr. Zimmerman never professed to be a believer. As far as we know, he is not a Christian. Number two, it's interesting to note that this research was concluded in 1947. So in 1947, by a non-believer just studying family said, when the culture begins to decline, it happens in the home, and it leads to cultural society destruction. And here's the seven indicators that that's happening. I don't know about you. I can't help but read those and feel a burden for the United States of America. I can't help but read those and feel a burden for our home country and even far state and our community here, right here in Lancaster and in Palmdale. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. Amen. And I want to follow God's plan and His prescription for the home. And I'm burdened today that it's done according to the Bible, according to God's plan. And I know that you are. That's why you're here. And I'm thankful indeed that you've joined us today. How critical is it that you and I provide our children with a worldview that is openly biblical and Christian? How important is it that you and I give them a framework by which they can make decisions in life, but they have a true understanding of truth as it is proclaimed in the Word of God? And that's where we're going to go in this series. And there's a reason we're focusing on the heart. Some might say, well, why aren't we focusing on the mind? Isn't that where instruction is directed most often? Let me give you some thoughts by way of introduction. First of all, the importance of the heart. We do often think of the mind as the reasoning aspect and the heart as the emotional part. But the Bible doesn't support that through and through. In fact, the Bible says much about thought given from the heart. Let me give you some illustrations in your notes. When God sent the great flood, we see in Genesis 6:5 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his what? Heart was only evil continually. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, was overwhelmed when she heard about her son in Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her what? Heart. And we see throughout Scripture that the heart was the seed of where, again, thought and idea was. The Bible ascribes reasoning and thinking to the heart because the heart is the center of one's being. The heart is where we think, where we grieve, where we rejoice, where we love, where we hate, where we desire, where we fear, where we pray, and so forth. The heart is the central system to all of that in our lives. That's why we read in Proverbs 4:23, keep it with all diligence. The idea there is it is a gate, and God is saying fortify it. Make sure it's latched. Make sure it's locked. Make sure the hinges are in good order. Don't let something breach the security of your heart. It's that important in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so there's an importance here of the heart. Then by way of introduction, let's look at the importance of instruction. So in this series, we're going to blend together the importance of the heart and the importance of instruction, okay? Now, instructing a child's heart is not simply transferring data or knowledge from the parent to the child, okay? In Christian homes today, we have a lot of children exiting the homes who know a lot of Christian stuff, but they have no problem once they leave the home living very little of it. And the reason for that is because it is knowledge that they know, but it is not knowledge that is theirs. They know it, but it's not a part of their life. It's not in their heart. It's not who they are, really. They know about it. They know your faith. They know your belief, but it's not who they are. And God's challenging you and I, and through these next several weeks, to really focus on the heart of our children, impressing the heart with truth. And that's what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs 23 in verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guard thine heart in the way. And so there is biblical instruction and challenge. Boy, be sure to focus on the heart as you're doing that. Now, what are we going to accomplish in this series? If you're a parent, no doubt, of children, you're thinking, yes, we could use some tips on parenting. How can we handle when they don't obey? How can we handle this or how can we handle that? And while this series, I'm praying, will be very practical and applicable, it's not going to be so much, here's the list of problems and here's the antidotes and here you go. It's going to be very much, here's the system by which to develop your home. Here's the system by which to develop a parenting philosophy. Here's the system by which to developing a training strategy for your home. The heart of this series is to get you and I in the Word of God, knowing the heart of God for our own family, and then impressing that upon the hearts of our children. Recently, in my own soul winning, knocking on doors and talking to people, people have told me, I might come to church and my kids might come, but I want to tell you something. Now, I was forced to go to church when I was a kid, and so I'm telling my kids, it's up to them, it's their choice. And I want to say to anyone in here who ever had a bad experience growing up when it came to faith, that I'm sorry you had that. But I want to caution you to carry an approach to these things that says, boy, I was kind of dragged to church when I was a kid, so I don't want to force this on my kids. I'm going to let them choose what they want. Let's apply that to the area of taking a bath. Our kids need a bath, right? Now, let's say we say to them, you know what? I don't want to force being, clean and sanitary on you. I was forced to take a bath all the time when I was a kid, and I'm still, suffering emotionally from that and scarred from it. So I want you to be able to choose when you want to take a bath. And honey, when you feel like you're ready for a bath, you let me know. But other than that, I'm certainly not going to force you to do it. Now, you're going to invest in a lot of air fresheners over the next while as a mom and a dad. When they need a bath, we tell them, bath time. Why? You need to be clean. You need to be sanitary and so forth. And God has given you and I an opportunity to train our children's hearts. If God wanted them to choose for themselves, He would have told us that. Hey, mom and dad, don't worry about it. Let them choose. But that's not what He said. You read it cover to cover. It never says that, but it does tell you and I over and over and over again, every opportunity you get, train. Every opportunity you get, instruct. Every opportunity you get, guide. Why? Because God is giving you the hearts of little people that you are stewarding and training for a life that will please Him, and God wants you to take it seriously. So we want to go into this series and say, God, will you help me develop a solid biblical strategy and philosophy and structure in my home that we may instruct our children's hearts in a way that pleases and honors you, where they know truth and they can make decisions based accordingly. And so today, as we transition into this kind of introductory launch out into the opening of the series, I want us to consider the fact that life is a classroom. Our children are learning 24/7. They're always learning. They're always under someone's influence. And there's a danger in that, because if they're not under sound, biblical, formative instruction and training in their life, then they're receiving training from someplace, and it could begin to really take away from what you're trying to accomplish in their heart and in their life. There's philosophies in this culture we don't believe with. Certainly, the Bible says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I unashamedly this morning believe that the key to raising godly children is to obey the Word of God.
Amen.
There's a lot of books, there's a lot of blogs, there's a lot of articles, there's a lot of information out there that say this, this, and this is the right way. If it comes from the Scriptures, amen. If it's against the Word of God, I'm not interested.
Amen.
I don't care how popular it is. I don't care how many people like it. I don't care how new it is. If it's not founded in the Word of God, it won't work. It's not rocket science. God said, listen, I created you. I instituted the home. I created your children. I gave them to you. Here is the way it is supposed to work. And if you will listen to me, if you will follow me, I will bless you.
Yes.
It's as simple as that. And that's our heart. And I believe it's yours. And that's by your presence here this morning. And so everything is teaching all the time. It's like the air that we breathe. We breathe it in and we don't even notice it. And so do our children. They're constantly taking in instruction, and we have to guard. Is it our instruction? Is it culture's instruction? What is that instruction? Where does it come from? How can we instruct their heart? And as we look at that this morning, I want us to look at two fundamental answers to how you and I can compete for the minds, but more importantly, the hearts of our children in a culture such as today. Number one, we must identify the enemy. We must identify the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And today's just an introductory lesson. We've got a long way to go in this series. But what I want to establish from day one, from moment one, from lesson one in this series, in our hearts this morning is we are in a battle. This is not a game. This is not a, this would be nice if we could do this, but if we won't, it's not really that big of a deal. This is not just something that deserves our leftover attention and leftover time. We are in a battle for our children. Satan hates your family. Satan wants your families to be destroyed. Satan wants your children's lives to be destroyed. And you are in a spiritual battle. And this morning, we've got to recognize, hey, there's an enemy. We recognize that if somebody came and broke a window in our home at 2 a.m. and came in maybe with a weaponry, and they were there to take some of our belongings or to do someone harm, I would hope some men in this room would say, hey, that's not going to happen. We've got some protections in place to make sure we safeguard our home. Well, hey, there may not be someone breaking through your window, but I promise you there is a Satan who's alive and well, who hates your family, who wants to do destruction in your home. We've got to recognize there's an enemy. The Bible tells you in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the battle is all around us. But can I submit to you this morning, it also is inside of us. In James 4:1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? They come not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Sometimes we're around our kids and we can just sense something's not right. Something in them is not right. Their heart's not right. Their response is not right. Their spirit is not right. Their countenance is not right. Something's warring in them. What's warring in them? What's influencing them? Parent, listen to me this morning. Has the enemy had more influence over your children this week than you have? Think about that this morning. Satan hates our families. He's unashamed he has an agenda. He's unashamed he's got a strategy. He's unashamed he's going someplace. And he's after your children and mine. Has he influenced them more this week than I have? Are they warring within because of the influences in their life that I've allowed? Oh, if I'm going to get to the heart of the children that God has given me, I must identify the enemy. I must recognize the battle that I'm in. A couple of thoughts. First question, letter A. Who instructs in our culture? Who instructs in our culture? And we live in a culture that understands that they have to saturate you and I with their message, and they're powerful and they're successful in doing it. Think about the fact that celebrities instruct. Oh, celebrities from every form and medium of entertainment tell us how we ought to act, how we ought to dress, what we ought to do with our time and our leisure. Experts constantly are instructing you and I on how we ought to live and parent and run our homes. Technology today in many homes monopolizes the instruction time and telling us how things ought to be and how we ought to be socially accepting of culture and so forth. Television, cinema, print, media, all of these things are instructing in our culture. Mom and Dad, you and I are going to give an account for the instruction our children receive. We can't put blinders on and say, well, we live in 2014 and wickedness is everywhere, and I just kind of hope my kid doesn't murder somebody and we can get to heaven someday. Hey, God wrote His word knowing we live in 2014. Amen. And God said, hey, he that is in me is still greater than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can live a godly life. We can live a holy life. We can rear children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This can still be done in God's way, but it's going to take some parents who say, hey, I want the hearts of my kids. I want to know the enemy. I want to know where they are receiving instruction. This instruction is tailor-made for every generation. It doesn't matter age. It doesn't matter paradigm. It doesn't matter background. They have a message and they are saturating culture with their message. I ask you again this morning, does your enemy have more influence over your children than you do? They're always instructing. Letter B, what do they teach? They're always teaching. They have an agenda. They have a direction. What is it that they teach? And you boil it down to the baseline, and it's basically the same for every generation. And it is this. The underlying message of their teaching is me. Life is about me. Am I happy? Am I successful? Am I getting what I deserve? Am I having all the things that I want? Is life pleasing to me? And the message to you and I, quite frankly, and to our children, is life is all about you. And culture has taught our children that authority and traditional values, especially in 2014, are repulsive to much of culture and society. And we have to stop and look at our own homes and say, what's acceptable in our home? What platform are we giving the enemy? What influence opportunities have we allowed to take place in our own home that the enemy is using? So the culture is teaching our children, listen, these things are okay, and authority and traditional values, these things are not right. Culture is teaching our children that inordinate affections is natural, that inordinate affections is normal, that inordinate affections is something that God created. And seeds are being sown in the hearts of our children of appetites that God never intended them to have. I know on the outside it looks innocent. I know on the outside it looks universal. I know on the outside it sounds like, oh, it's all hold hands and sing kumbaya. Let's all accept one another. Let's all believe in one another. But I hope there's enough wisdom and discernment in this room to step back and look and say, listen, there is an agenda in our culture today that is saying be tolerant of everything but Jesus Christ. Be tolerant of everything but God's way. Believe in everything but the Bible. Follow what you want to do. Accept what God says to do. There is an agenda in culture with your children in mind. And I just stop and say, listen, if we're going to have the hearts of our kids, do you and I have an agenda? Are you and I aware of the enemy? Are you and I willing to do what it is that we need to do? And so we've got to identify the enemy. Who's teaching? What are they teaching? And then letter C, I want us to see that the world's classroom is deceptive. The world's classroom is deceptive. Now, the classroom is everywhere. Literally, we're inundated, we're saturated by it, but it's deceptive. It looks sophisticated. It sounds great. It sounds universal. It sounds like it's tolerating, but it's not. In fact, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh on the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? God says, be careful. Where is that all going to go? Well, he ends in verse 4 by saying, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of his righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now listen, God says to you and I believers this morning, don't sit, don't stand, don't be near the ungodly culture, direction, vision, strategy of the world today. Why? Because in the end, they're going to perish. In the end, it's not going to work. And would God give you and I the wisdom and the discernment to see what's happening? Often sincere Christians feed and are influenced by the enemy and somehow don't even recognize it in their own lives or homes. But the Bible warns you and I in James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now listen to me this morning. You and I cannot invite the secular culture into our homes and expect its voice not to be compelling to us and to our children. So how can we instruct hearts? How can we get to the heart of children? Identify your enemy. This morning, be freshly, acutely aware of the fact you have an enemy. You have an enemy in your life. You have an enemy in your marriage. You have an enemy in your home. You have a Satan who wants to destroy your home and your children's lives. Be aware of that. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be ready. Secondly, we must implement biblical formative instruction. Now, formative instruction forms or shapes children. It is the event of a lifetime interaction with our children based upon the principles of the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I want us to see this morning, first of all, the importance of parental formative instruction. Again, we said life is a classroom. It's happening 24/7. Our children are constantly being influenced, and it's compelling, and it's comprehensive, and they're under peer pressure all the time to adapt and to mold and to be accepted in culture. And so our homes at the same time need to be compelling and need to be an environment that is God-centered and needs to provide a desire in our children's heart to say, I want to be like God. I want to please God. I want to obey the Bible. I want to be the right kind of person with my life. As compelling as the culture is, so your home needs to be compelling. Read a book years ago talking about teenagers and how they grew up in Christian homes, and then they left the Christian faith, and it basically said a lot of homes are like rowboats. And while they're out there on their rowboat in the ocean, here goes by the Disney cruise liner. And we look at our kids and we say, oh, that's so bad and that's so wicked. Don't you ever go there. And our kids look at our rowboats and say, well, we don't seem like we have much, and they sure seem like they're having a good time. I hear a lot of laughter. I see a lot of fun things, but I know it's bad. The book went on to say that's why so many of them jump ship and go to other things, because we spent so much time telling them about all the things that were wrong, and we never developed our own boat to make it something they wanted to stay on. Amen. I know I have an enemy, but I have God's word.
Amen.
I know I have an enemy, but I have God. Amen. I don't have an enemy, but I'm on the winning side. This isn't just something I think is a good idea. This isn't just something I think might work. This is something I am utterly convinced of from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. This is not something I'm going to try. This is something I'm going to do. This is not something I'm going to experiment with. This is something I am going to live out and to do for all the days that I have my kids in my home. And so while there is an enemy, I have a plan, because God gave it to me in His Word. And I can develop something that my kids can love as I've loved in my own life. The importance of parental formative instruction. Now, we've always got to be teaching our kids. We've always got to be training them. And that's what we're going to learn how to do in this series. Not just simply fixing little problems and kind of stopping little inconveniences, but truly training them from the Word of God. And to develop that plan, we have to recognize, number one, that God has spoken. Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What does this love for God and for others look like? What does it sound like? Where do we find it? Where do we find the wisdom and the discernment and the stamina to continue to live it and to teach it to our children? And all of that is found in the Word of God. And this morning, as parents or soon to be parents, we have to commit in our hearts, the Bible is our curriculum and Jesus Christ is our example, and we are on the winning side. And while culture is overwhelming and while the tidal wave is coming, we must stand with a stiff back and say, listen, God is right, and God's way will work, and I must know it, and I must live it out in my life and in my home. But then secondly, parents must speak. We could spend lots of time this morning looking at the fact that God has spoken, because He has. But my prayer for you and I this series is that we will speak, that God's message will be clearly told to our children from us. The Bible says in Psalms 145:4, O generation, shall praise thy works one to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. God wants you and I to echo His word. But He doesn't just want His word to be echoed, because over time that can have a hollow ring, as it did for the Pharisees. But God wants you and I to live it, to process it, to apply it, to make it who we really are, and then to model it for our kids. And certainly, a part of that is going to be saying, boy, Daddy blew it today and I'm sorry. Boy, Mommy could have done that better and I'm sorry. But I am committed to knowing God's word, and I am committed to living God's word, and I am committed to imparting it to you as well. Honor for God, respect for authority, respect for others, a gracious and a family-like spirit can be in the home of those who say we're going to adapt and to implement God's instruction in our home. But many parents, when they hear that or they begin to implement, they feel like their home is invaded. It's almost hostile. Maybe something their children might see on MTV or VH1. Maybe in a video game or on a computer screen or tablet or some kind of a media device. They've been through some printed media. And all of a sudden, their children begin to develop interest and habits and a vocabulary and values that their parents not only don't agree with, they don't even know anything about. And sometimes these parents, full of concern, look at their children's lives and say, what happened and who is influencing them? But maybe one could ask, how did your children purchase the television for the room and the mobile phone that they carry and the computer that they have in their room? Oh, they didn't purchase that. I bought it for them. So you're upset with your kids for using the very things you gave them that are influencing them in a way that is contrary to you. I don't know about you. I'm the gatekeeper of my home. It's my responsibility to give an account for all the influence over the people in my home. The influence they're getting through media, the influence they're getting in the classroom, the influence they're getting everywhere. It's my job to know about it. And if there's influence in their life that I disagree with, it's my job to get rid of it, to eradicate it and say, listen, that's not happening for me and my house. We're not going to do that. We've got to be discerning about the influence our children are under. The entertainment, the technology that we provide, we may be inviting guests in our home that are very difficult to evict. And I hope in this series we will consider, have we kept the heart with all diligence? Is there an opening in our gate? Is the latch loose? Have we let something in that is not us, that is the enemy, that we need to get out? Parents have to speak. And then lastly, letter B, formative instruction and discipline are not the same thing. We'll develop much of this in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. But I want to make sure this morning that we do not confuse formative instruction with corrective discipline. Formative instruction should be happening all the time. Discipline should be applied when the behavior needs correction. And if the only time you and I instruct our children is when they need discipline, then our children will not listen to our instruction for fear of the discipline. Sometimes in our lives, we become so busy and so preoccupied that when our children do something wrong and it gets our attention, then comes forth the instruction. It may be needed at that time. But we've got to be challenged in a class like this, in a series like this, to know that can't be the only time I instruct. I have to be instructing all the time. All the time instructing my children. When there's corrective discipline without the formative instruction, it breeds in our heart, in the hearts of our children, confusion and eventually rebellion. And we want to make sure that we're careful about that. The most effective way that you and I can instruct the heart and get to the heart of our children is to love the Word of God and to live it. I hope through this series that every one of us in this room will be reminded there's an enemy. This is not a game. This is not some trivial thing that, you know, we go to church and we go to class and that's kind of nice. And Brother Roel is kind of excited this morning. But, you know, at the end of it all, it doesn't really matter. I hope through this series that we will come face to face with grips of reality that says, there's an enemy. There's an enemy that wants our home and our children. And God helping me, I'm going to identify that enemy, and I'm going to do everything I can to guard the home, build the hedge of protection, keep the hearts of the children with all diligence. And then I want to instruct. And where God has spoken, I want to speak. And I don't want it to just be me telling them what I think. I want them to watch me read the Word of God, learn and apply and grow. And maybe do something for God that I've never done before. Maybe stop doing something that God has convicted me about. And I want them to see it be real in me. And as it's real in me, and as I teach them, Lord willing, it'll be real in them. I want to encourage you this morning as we close. We are on the winning side. When I think about rearing my four children in today's culture and society, sure, there's a pressure. There's a burden. There's a sincerity. Lord, I want them to do right and turn out right and help me. But there's an encouraging thought. I'm on the winning side. God's way works. And if I believe it and do it, He'll bless it. And I hope and pray as we kind of get started on this series that we'll say, whew, I got to remember there's an enemy. Oh, but God's given me the blueprint and the game plan. And if I'll get in that and I'll learn it and I'll teach it, next week we're going to learn about some of that formative instruction. If I'll put those things into action in my own home, first in my life and then in my home, God will bless that. And while there may be lots of things crumbling around, our home can stand sure on the rock of Jesus Christ. While homes may be destroyed in the storms built on sand, our home can stand because it's built on the solid rock.
Amen.
And I hope that that'll be our mission as we go through this series and understand how do we instruct the heart of a child. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word and for our time together this morning. God, I pray that you would bless our class. Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire to instruct the hearts of our children. Lord, not to just give them knowledge, not just to impress them, but to truly impact their heart and model for them a life that is pleasing to thee. May we this morning be acutely aware there's an enemy. May we be recognizing we have responsibility to instruct. And may we leave here determined, I'm going to do the best that I can this week. And I'm going to be back next Sunday and every week of this series. And God helping me, I want to be the kind of parent that impacts the heart of my children and gives them ultimately a heart for God. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.